Hi guys, it's Jordan Byers and welcome back to another episode of Chit Chat with Joby. I'm so excited about today's episode. It is a bit of a long one, but all of the information that our guest shares is so valuable. So valuable. I learned a bunch of tips and tricks from her, as well as some juicy details in behind the scenes of child acting. She was a kid actress, and she has a lot of tea to spill when it comes to being a child actor, which obviously I was not born or living in California when I was a child, so I have no clue what that's like. So for me, hearing her stories and what it's like behind the scenes was very, very interesting to me. So I think you guys are definitely going to like that. But then she also goes into talking about her business, which she started herself a couple of years ago and is honestly killing it. I definitely took a couple of notes from her on this part because I think she is super inspiring. But let me stop rambling. Here we have Emily Soul. Hey guys, it's Jordan Byers, and you're listening to Chit Chat with Joby. Let's get right into the episode.
Hi!
Hi, you look so cute.
Wait, thank you. No, you look so cute.
Oh my gosh, don't even lie to me. I'm literally wearing the same clothes I've been wearing for the past 4 days.
No, it's okay. If it makes you feel better, this is literally like a sports bra, like combo with a tank top. I only wear that and I'm wearing sets, like sweats. So it's like, no biggie.
I feel you. Quarantine outfits, am I right?
No, it's really true. I've only been wearing sweats because I don't fit in my jeans anymore.
It's so bad.
Okay, good. I'm glad I'm not alone. It's so bad.
You know what? Okay, here's my thing. I've gained almost 15 pounds during quarantine.
Me too. It's okay.
But you know what? I kind of am loving the curves that my body is pulling through with.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's insane. Like, I don't know. I'm kind of okay with the weight gain only because, like, it's kind of made me a little bit, like, more into my actual true shape. Instead of like restricting and making sure I'm not eating at certain times of the day, you know what I'm saying? Because like, I'd rather be more natural in that sense where it's like low key, like my boobs got bigger and I was like, wow, this is great. Isn't that funny? It's true though.
Right? My ass is so huge.
We love a thick ass.
Yes, honey.
It's so true though. Like everything's gotten like a little bit bigger and I'm like, I don't hate it that much. Like,
I know.
I'm fine. Yeah.
Okay. Well, welcome to my podcast.
Yeah. This is so exciting. What the heck?
Please introduce yourself. Give us a little background on you, how old you are, where you grew up, what you're doing for career wise. Just quick little blurb. Not quick. Just give us. Yeah. Give us all of the info.
Oh, shoot. Okay. Hi, everyone. My name's Emily Soul. I'm 22 years old. I'm originally from Seal Beach, California, but I'm currently quarantining still in Los Angeles, California. I recently just graduated from FIDM, which is such, I didn't even think it was going to happen with this quarantine stuff. But yeah, besides that, I am doing some modeling and acting right now, which is really weird to do auditions through Zoom. And, I currently have a social media marketing company that I manage different clients and yeah, just getting through it one day at a time.
Okay. So we're definitely going to touch on each aspect of what you just said, because
of course
I feel like so many people see people in California doing social media stuff and acting and modeling, and nobody really knows, like, how do you start into that? How do you get into that? And so what I think is really helpful is to have people like you who are doing those kind of career paths and ask them, how did you start? What are you doing to get where you are? And how do you maintain it? But first, I want to ask you, what has it been like growing up in California?
Oh my gosh, that's actually a really good question. I always would say this growing up, actually, where it's like, you're not from Southern California unless you've been in some kind of commercial or background thing for some Disney, whatever, or been scouted at the mall. That's a big one. So I always used to say that, but I think genuinely growing up in California, I'm really, really thankful that this is where my parents just chose to have a life. There was always like beaches everywhere, which was nice because I grew up a block away from the ocean. So just like going to beaches all the time, going to LACMA and fun stuff like that. But I think genuinely like California for me is just the place to be. I love California so much and there's so much to do because like you can go to the beach one day, you can go up to the mountains, you can go hiking. So yeah, it's really great. And I think growing up in California has really kind of shaped me a lot better than a lot of people like from different states, because you experience so many different cultures, different foods, because I have friends from like Wisconsin and Mississippi who have like never actually had a true taco, like stuff like that. But like things like that, where it's like, it seems very simple to me. And it's so natural for me to be like, oh yeah, like this and this culture, all this stuff. But there's some people that don't understand different cultures and different foods, ethnicities, all that stuff. So I think growing up in California, you're really immersed in different types of like people.
Mm-hmm. So, no, yeah. I completely agree, because coming from Ohio, it's primarily white. Primarily yeah. Caucasian, honey. So oh, yeah. Coming to California, it was very interesting to really be immersed in so many different cultures and learning about different people. And I feel like it definitely broadened my horizons when it comes to understanding different ethnicities and different ways of growing up. Because I feel like where I grew up, it was very like community, going to church every Sunday, barbecues,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like very white picket fence kind of feel.
Yeah. Like it's a very like suburban feel. And then when you get to LA, it's kind of just a culture shock almost, where it's like, oh my gosh, like not everything is like a planned city by like some kind of like brand developing, like, you know what I'm saying? Like that kind of thing. Like Irvine, for example. Yeah.
So do you think that because you grew up in California, you were kind of bound to become interested in the whole entertainment industry and wanting to get into that?
I think so. Because when I first started getting into the entertainment industry, I was around 6 years old. Because I would beg my mom and I'd be like, please, like, let me be in acting. I want to do all this stuff. And I really just wanted to be like a Hannah Montana, because I feel like that's every girl's like dream was to do that. But yeah, my parents, they really just like nurtured that a lot. And I'm very, very thankful for that, where every single weekend, because I'm from Orange County, so it's about like an hour away from LA. So every weekend from elementary to like freshman year of high school, Saturdays and Sundays, I'd be in acting classes. So I'd be in Hollywood on Saturday at the CNN building and practicing acting. And then I'd be in North Hollywood on like in a kid version of the improv and like doing like improv with different actors and stuff. So I think if it wasn't for my parents like nurturing that, and they were never very forceful with anything, like there's a lot of stage moms, and like having to deal with that on set, you really see the difference between a parent who's like, hey, if you want to do this, do it, and a parent's like, no, you need to do this. There's such a difference. And I think especially like with my mom, who's like a very, very grounded woman, she would like see if it, like if I wasn't comfortable in the situation, like if I didn't really want to go to the audition or anything like that, she's like, it's your choice at the end of the day. Like everything is your choice. We're not going to be forcing you to go to auditions. We're not going to be like making you miss school if you want to go to like a pep rally or something. Like this is all your choice, because this is your future. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah. So were you signed with an agency as a kid?
Yeah, so I got signed, I forgot the name of it, it's literally so long ago, and like plus I didn't really know that much about it either, because my parents wouldn't keep me on the business side. It's kind of like whatever you want to do. But I think I got signed with an agency, and then I ended up doing a L'Oreal commercial with Penelope Cruz. That was my first commercial ever, which was really, really fun. So that was like a whirlwind. And then having to interact with like other young kids my age who were kind of like more forced into the industry. Like their parents moved from different states. Like it was almost like a culture shock for me in that way, where it's like, oh, like you don't go to school and hang out with your friends all day. You are homeschooled and then you only go to auditions all day.
Aww.
So it's pretty crazy. Yeah. It's really, really sad. Like I even remember one girl, I hope she's doing fine now, but her mom would basically have three different headshots for her. Because at that time, everything was through paper because not computers weren't that big of a thing. But she'd have three different headshots with three different stage names.
Oh my gosh.
Throughout the day. And I've seen her multiple times. Like the reason why I knew this was because I'd always see her at auditions with different names. And so she'd have three different names, three different hairstyles. And all she would do that day. So for example, if it's like a Petco commercial, she would go at 10 a.m. and then she would go at like, let's say like 12 p.m. and then she would go at 3 p.m. because the casting directors, they see so many kids in a day, they're not going to remember you because like they'll have to like look back on the tape. But that was that girl's thing, and like she got a lot more jobs doing that because she was constantly going through the cycles of like the same audition, which is crazy.
Wow, I can't even imagine. So do you think that these parents are trying to live through their children, or is that what they're trying to do, or are they just trying to make an income off of their child?
I think it's a little bit of both.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of both, because there were a lot of parents, and from what I remember, obviously I was very young during those times, but a lot of parents, that was their only source of income, was their child acting. Which is crazy though, because most of the money from your acting goes to a Coogan account that you can't touch until you're 18. So, cause like you would get like a small lump sum and then the rest would go to that bank account. So they would really be banking off their kids' acting careers, like just full on like making them work every single day, wow. Which is really sad to see. I'm hoping it's changed a lot, but especially with YouTube right now, like you see these family vloggers and stuff like that. Like it's not really restricted, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I've seen so much controversy around family vloggers who they're basically doing the same thing but yeah, on a different platform, and I feel like it's exploiting your children if they don't want to be doing it.
Yeah, it's really sad. Yeah,
like for you, obviously you had a passion from a young age and you really had a yearning to get in front of the camera and do your thing and be creative. So that's so much different. How many kids did you recognize wanted to actually be there and didn't? Like, give us a little breakdown of percentage wise, because this is very interesting to me.
I think maybe if I were just like go off like the top of my head, like people who are kind of like me who like really wanted to do it, I would say maybe like 30 to 40% of the kids like really were there to like do it and their parents were not forceful. I think that's the biggest difference. And then the rest of the percentage, like their parents were a little bit more forceful. They didn't really want to do it. They were only restricted to homeschooling. So it was pretty cutthroat in like the commercial industry, especially too, because like commercial acting is kind of like, in my opinion, it's kind of like the least like artistic form of acting, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah. So it's a lot different than like actual like theatrical auditions and like movie auditions, because commercial acting is just very like boring. I don't know.
So, and I promise we're going to talk about some, like your acting now, but I'm interested in the whole child acting thing.
Yeah, no, it's crazy though. Like, I love talking about it because it's such an interesting thing that most people never truly went through. Because, like, I don't know, it's most parents like are not willing to drive their kids every single time they get an audition. So I'm totally fine, yeah, talking about it because it's like it's such a wild thing.
It really is. When you were going to the improv classes and the acting classes, do you think that because you started at a young age, it made you more comfortable to get in front of the camera and act in front of the camera?
Yeah, I think so. I think for me, at a younger age, going to those auditions and things like that really kind of helped with me like verbally talking to people a lot, if that makes sense. Like it kind of just, it took away any of like kind of the social awkwardness of like meeting new people, talking to people and networking. So I think that really helped me in that aspect also. But I think in general, yeah, I think it took a lot away from like being nervous about the camera, thinking it's like some like weird, like object, you know what I'm saying? Like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, and it makes you very open to like be yourself really, because I think the more practice you get, it makes everything a little bit more natural.
Because when it comes to the whole child acting thing, I feel like if you were to start at an older age and jump into acting, say 18 to 20, it would be a lot more difficult for you to get accustomed to getting in front of the camera and showing a lot of emotion in front of a camera and have people watching you. So do you think like if you had started at in your teens or early 20s, do you think that it would be a different experience?
Oh, I definitely think so. Yeah. Because I always kind of said this, and it was the plus side and the downside of like acting at a young age, where you're a little kid auditioning in front of like people who are in their 30s and 40s, and then being like, no, I don't like that. Do it this way. So I think kind of having that and having like adults kind of be like treating you kind of like an adult as well in like acting situations, it was kind of nice to have that, because it's like, oh, okay, like I don't need to worry because like they're going to help me out. And so like, I think once I got older, it was kind of like a more mutual respect kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And instead of like, if that makes sense, but like, I think definitely if I were to start out when I was a little bit older, it would have been a lot harder. And I think I would have given up, to be honest, because like, it takes a lot of practice. Cause it seems like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it seems very, very easy. Like where you're like, oh, this person's on TV. It must've been like super easy. Like not even like any work goes into it, but it takes like years and years of kind of like getting comfortable with yourself and getting comfortable in front of other people. Because like, you're never acting in front of a camera by yourself. You're doing with a whole bunch of people in the background, with production assistants, directors, like videographers, like everything. You're like, oh God, there's like 20 people here to like just only film me, which is like weird, but yeah.
Have you ever had any difficulties with another cast member, or have you had any experiences with a difficult cast member, like a sassy type of dramatic one, for example?
I have one. Okay, so one of my commercials that I did also was a Hallmark one, which was really cool. And it was like for like a Hannah Montana Valentine's Day card, which is like, whatever, like it's a funny thing. But so usually when you're auditioning for things, it's like you get the first audition through your agent, then you go to that, and if they like you, you get a call back. So they liked me, they gave me a call back, and then I guess they couldn't really decide because there's only, I think, 3 parts available, but there were 4 girls, they just couldn't decide. So we had like a third audition, and it was at a house actually in like the Hollywood Hills area. I don't know why it wasn't at like an office, but I guess they just kind of wanted to see how comfortable we were in front of the camera. And so we're all kind of the same age, I think maybe like 12, 13 years old, like around that age. And one girl, she was like 15, which is like a big deal when you're that age. You're like, oh my God, she's like 2 years older. That's crazy. But we're all in the backyard area getting ready to like audition in front of the producers again. And she doesn't really acknowledge us. She doesn't really care to talk to us. She just gets her math textbook and is just working on her homework. And the other 2 girls and I, we were just kind of like laughing, having fun, talking, getting to know each other. And we ended up going to audition in front of the camera. And I remember this like so clearly, because I literally thought I did not get it, because out of all the girls, they had way more experience than I did, because at that time I really didn't have that much experience in commercials, like a lot of improv stuff I did, but just not really commercials. And so I auditioned first in front of them. I read my lines and they only did one take with me, and they're like, okay, you can just go stand right there. And I was like, oh, okay. And then they did it with the other girls over and over and over again. And I was just watching, and I'm like, oh my God, they don't want me. They literally just like had me do one take and then they're done with me. Oh my God, they don't want me at all. And so I went over to my mom, and like, thank God I have a mom who like will like just whatever I don't feel comfortable with will just like take me out of the situation, because she understood I was a child. But I told her, I was like, I don't think I got it. I'm freaking out. And I was crying. I'm just like, I don't want to be here anymore. I'm so upset. And the girl who was being really rude to us, she thought that she got the part because she saw me crying. So she was like, oh, that girl didn't get it. Like, whatever, like just being really rude to everyone. And so my mom goes up to the director. She's like, you know what? I'm going to take my kid out of this. She does not deserve to be crying right now. It's not okay. She's a child. Like, you guys should not be doing this with kids, like putting them against each other. And they were like, oh, no. She got the part. We wanted her from the get-go. We were deciding between the other three girls. Like, don't worry, go sit back down. And so I guess the really rude girl who wasn't talking to us at all, they were actually watching how she was interacting with us. And it was really sad to see, though. But I guess when she thought I didn't get it because I was crying, she took all of her clothes to wardrobe and walked over to wardrobe. And wardrobe was like, no, you didn't get it. You got to go. Yeah. So she was like shocked she didn't get it, because she was like the most like experienced there, was so cool, like a little bit older than us. And she was just like flabbergasted that she just like did not get the part when we did, because they were viewing how we were interacting with each other, which is crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. So it just really shows like you never know who's watching, and you should always be nice to everyone.
Oh, for sure. I'm just envisioning this whole thing happening in my head right now, and she got what she was asking for, honey.
Exactly. It's true. But yeah.
So, do you like acting now, or are you more into the modeling side now?
Yeah. So I started not having as much fun as I used to acting around when I was in high school. And I kind of told my parents, I was like, honestly, like, I don't really feel comfortable in front of the camera, like, just kind of like going through puberty and all that stuff, not feeling comfortable with my body, and like just getting very, very self-conscious. So my parents were like, honestly, like, that's fine. Like, if you don't want to do that, like, you can start doing musical theater, which I started doing in high school. Like, I was doing a lot of that. And then I started focusing more on modeling and things like that. So I think for now, I've very much taken a break from actual acting and commercial acting, and focused a lot more on modeling, because I think for me, just in my life right now, I think that kind of fits me a little bit better, which I don't complain about at all. Like, I'm very happy with what I'm doing now, but like, yeah, I think for right now, it's mainly a focus on modeling more than acting right now.
And you've been able to get really big gigs with ColourPop, and you had one with Dominique Cosmetics, right?
Yeah. I recently did that. I think that was last month. Yeah.
What is that like? That is so cool.
It's really fun. Because like for me, I don't really fit into like the cookie cutter mold of what a model is, you know what I'm saying? Because like usually in the modeling industry, it's very cutthroat. You have to be a certain weight, a certain height. But I think that's why I really love makeup modeling, because you don't have to be any type of cookie cutter mold. You can be any shape, any size. And they only really care about like how you can just like how they can make a look on your face. Like, your face is the canvas, if that makes sense. And like, I think it was just so much fun in general. Like, I think that's kind of like the big thing that I've fallen in love with modeling is makeup modeling, because I find it so fun, and you meet so many amazing people, and the makeup artists are so sweet. I really like that. Yeah.
So your overall experience with modeling has been pretty positive from what I'm hearing.
Yeah, it's been very, very positive, but mainly because I only get really casted for makeup modeling, which for me, I'm totally fine with, because like, I would rather not worry about what I'm putting into my body and freaking out every second of the day, because like, I used to do that a lot, especially when I was in acting, like, oh my God, like, I need to eat this, I need to look like that. But I think with makeup modeling, like, it's a more inclusive community, which I am obsessed with, because inclusivity is everything. So yeah.
Okay. And then I love that. I love yeah. that. I think your face is perfectly symmetrical, so it makes sense that you're makeup modeling. But
thank you.
I also recognize that you are with a union, correct?
Yes, yeah. So I'm with the Screen Actors Guild.
Which is big, big time.
Yeah, well, it's funny because when I got accepted into it, I was, I think, in middle school and I didn't really understand what it meant. And I was like, oh, okay, like, that's cool, whatever. Like, I get free movies because that's what they send you during award season. They'll just send you all the movies that aren't not like really released on DVD so you can vote on it. And so I never understood. I was like, oh, I'm getting like whatever, like random movies. I'm like, this is cool, movie night with my friends. But yeah, it's crazy. I, at that time, again, I didn't really understand, but I'm really grateful now to realize like this is a really hard union to get into. And they kind of scout and like scout you out and just be like, you can join, but for this amount of money. And so it's really good to be in a union. You get paid a lot more than people who are not in union, which is good. But at the same time, you do have to pay a lot of dues and you are restricted to certain jobs because there is non-union jobs and union jobs. So for example, if there's like, I don't know, a local coffee shop ad that they want to like cast for, I normally wouldn't be able to go to that because they won't meet the union standards. So that's like the only downside really. But overall, I really had a great experience being in SAG and like the connections that they provide are really great. So yeah.
What are the standards? I don't like, please explain the standards if you're in a union.
Yeah. So from what I understand is that you have to be in a certain amount of like, you have to do a certain amount of jobs for them to kind of recognize you and invite you into the union. And for example, like for me, again, I got super duper lucky. I think it was after really my first commercial for L'Oreal. And I think since it was the big brand name, they sought me out and they were like, oh, like you could join the union. But I know it's actually really, really hard to get in if you're not with a big brand and you're not doing those like jobs with bigger brands. But I know there's been some ways that I, like some friends that have gotten into the union, which is doing a SAG job, if that makes like it's very confusing, but doing a SAG commercial, for example, like a SAG only commercial, and then being able to do it and then like they invite you right after, if that makes it's a weird way to get in, but like they really just kind of like seek you out. So like you could be doing anything really and they're like, you come with us, and you're like, okay, I'll do it. So yeah, it's really a different story for everyone, but for me, I just got really lucky where they saw that I was with a brand for L'Oreal and they were like, okay, you're invited. And I'm like, okay, I'll do it. Yeah.
Okay. So it kind of made sense for you to take that step into a union when you had that big job, which makes sense, of course. Yeah. But for people who are just getting started or are inspired and want to be doing what you're doing, get micro with this, like get very micro with this. What are your best tips for somebody that's looking to get into the entertainment industry?
I think number one best tip ever, student films. With any type of university ever, I think that's a great way to get practice, to learn from other people, to learn how directors are going to be acting, because mainly it's unpaid, which should be expected because you're just starting out. You're not going to walk into a studio and be like, you're going to hire me and you're going to give me $2 million. Like, that's not realistically how life works. Sadly, I would love for that to work like it. But I think the biggest thing is like student films and just like working and doing that, because you'll gain a portfolio. So once you want to like sign with an agency, you'll have the portfolio to show them, being like, hey, this is my work. I have done like X, Y, Z. Let me get signed to your agency, please. And even doing like freelance stuff too, because like there's a lot of people who just like want to do freelance modeling, freelance like filmography, just to build their own portfolio. So definitely networking with other people who want to do the same thing. I think that's a big thing too.
And for the freelance opportunities, would you find those on Facebook or on where?
I think So I think a lot of them would be through, you could actually find some through LinkedIn, which is wild, but there is a casting website. I need to make sure. Central Casting is really good for that. So I would definitely recommend signing up for Central Casting or just even looking up different casting websites, because there's different like blogs that'll go up being like, hey, I need this. Like, I need like whatever, like a girl in her 20s to play this character. Is anyone available to shoot with me? So I definitely recommend like signing up for different casting websites, because you'll find different people. And also background acting, because I told you about that, like background acting, like it's like the best way to make extra income, because most of the time they'll pay you. So great way to make extra income, meet new people, network with them as well. So yeah.
Yeah, I still need to see what that's like. I haven't had time. I've been so busy, but I definitely want to see what background acting is like. Just, you know, get a little nice cash to take myself out to a nice dinner.
Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure. It's really a fun experience. Like, yeah, you would like it.
I feel like I would. I'm definitely going to try it out. I'm wondering, what is it like doing acting and modeling during COVID?
It's weird. It's really weird. I've done a couple auditions through Zoom, actually, which is like pretty crazy. But even for example, Domini Cosmetics, we did that during COVID and during quarantine and everything. They had to just, I was able to send them pictures and they were able to review me and be like, okay, we want you to be a part of this. And then when I got there, face masks on, they check your temperature, make sure you're all good. And then like you can actually get your makeup done and start modeling and stuff like that. But yeah, it's pretty crazy to try to act and model during COVID, because like, I never thought this entire situation would happen in the first place too. Right? So it's like, and I don't think really a lot of casting agencies were ever prepared for something like this to happen. So it's a lot of like pictures that get sent and Zoom calls with different casting like directors and stuff. So it's been pretty interesting to see how it's adapted.
Right. So when you were at the photo shoot, was everybody wearing a mask when you were like the only one not wearing a mask when you were taking the photos?
Yeah, so everyone was very, very safe at the photo shoot. So like, so basically the models weren't wearing masks, but everyone else was very safe. And like hand sanitizer was everywhere, like just making sure that everyone was just like up to code. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
That's great.
It was very good that they were safe.
Yeah, I think that's great that they can find a way to continue working and continue doing acting and modeling during such a terrible time.
It's true. It's very, very true. Because again, like I don't think anyone ever expected something like this to happen. So it's good that they're adapting. It was slow, adapting to everything, but somewhat there.
Yeah. This is our new normal. So we got to figure things out as it comes.
Very true. It's very, very true.
So tell us about Social Queens, please.
Oh yeah. So basically, it started out 2018, August of 2018. And me and my former business partner, she's actually not part of it anymore. So I took it on full time. But we decided to start a social media marketing agency and got a couple clients, and it just kind of happened, which was really cool. Slowly she got really, really busy with USC, which she like thriving there. I completely understand. Mm-hmm. And so I decided, I was like, you know what? It's my senior year at FITM. I'd rather just like take it on, like just do everything by myself. And yeah, just doing it by myself, it's been hard for sure, but I think I've learned a lot, and I learned how to now work with people a lot better, and like communication has gotten a lot better on my end, and especially with my clients as well. But it's been a really fun time, and I think during COVID it's been hard because sales have obviously gone down drastically because people are depressed right now, people are not buying and spending as much. And people have lost their jobs and crazy things like that. So it's been really hard on the marketing side and income wise, but I think overall, like if I can get through this, I can get through anything, like that kind of thing.
Right. And the last time we spoke at brunch, you were telling me all about how you just started on your own and you had a client, you were telling me all about it and it seemed really interesting, but I'm wondering, what have you learned since then doing it all by yourself?
Yeah. So I think for me, a lot of it is time management, which is really hard because if I don't write something down, my brain is just going to get scattered and like, I'll be thinking of 12 different things at once. So it's like really sitting down, writing everything out, making a list. But I think also it's like understanding your worth is the biggest thing. Because I think when I was at brunch, I might've told you that one of my former clients was very rude to me, very like disrespectful towards me, wasn't paying me enough. I think she was paying me $15 a day, which should be illegal. Like looking at the numbers, I was realizing she was paying me $15 a day, which is crazy. But then you're like, oh, but I'm charging monthly, so it's not that bad. But then you actually look at the numbers and you're basically losing money working for this person. But really understanding your worth and understanding how much you should be getting paid for your time, because a specialist kind of thing like this is actually going to cost money. And so if people aren't willing to spend the money and treat you with respect, then you kind of got to let go of them. And that's sadly what I had to do with that client, because she was just very disrespectful towards me, not really understanding the true worth of social media and expecting me to like run, for example, her Pinterest, Facebook, Instagram, create different like page for her, revamp her entire website for $15 a day. And I told her, I was like, I'm sorry, but you're not my, like, and I didn't tell her like this specifically, but I was kind of like, you're not my highest paying client, and my highest paying clients don't even demand that much time from me.
Wow.
So it was kind of that, I think I dropped her in the beginning of quarantine because I was like, you know what, if it's going to be like this and I'm stuck at home, I cannot deal with this, because it's just a lot of craziness on her end. You know what I'm saying?
Oh my gosh. Okay. My mouth is wide open. I am so flabbergasted that this woman took advantage of you like that.
Yeah.
Managing all of those social profiles is a full-time job. People have full-time careers running one brand's social profiles. So the fact that you're able to run multiple clients' social medias, that's really, really impressive.
Thank you. I think a lot of it is just time management, understanding like there are different websites to help you, like for example, like Sprout Social or Hootsuite, things like that to help you kind of keep on track with postings. But yeah, I think just a lot of it is just understanding the respect that you earn, because like, I'm pretty sure you're the exact same way. You never go into like a business venture being rude to people. You know what I'm saying? You should never be disrespectful to people. So it's like, if they're not going to be respectful towards you, you gotta cut them off.
Cut them off, honey. Bye.
Exactly. That's the tea.
So when you're talking about Sprout Social and Hootsuite, do you have the client pay for that monthly subscription?
Yeah. So usually with it, because since I'm an independent contractor, I will kind of recommend that as like an extra fee for them and be like, hey, if you want it to be the exact same time, the exact same, like post, like whatever, every single day, I can make a service for you, but you're going to have to provide, like, you're going to have to pay for that service. Right. If that makes sense. Cause like, some of it actually kind of adds up and it gets very, very expensive. So it's like, for example, like if you're going to be paying me $500 a month, I'm not going to spend $300 of that getting things together for you just to post on these social media. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
So when it comes to managing the social profiles, are you creating content for them too?
Yeah, so it's usually a mix. So for example, I have one client that has an actual like photographer take all the content for them, and I will just be posting and interacting with their customers and like responding to messages and DMs. So that's like one example. And then I have another client where it's like I mainly take pictures for them and will post those on social and like do the rest. But it just really depends on the capability that they have and if they can actually afford to have professional photographers, because I'm by no means a professional photographer, but it can go either way. Yeah.
Right. So when it comes to negotiating your price with a client, how do you price yourself? I'm not asking like what you're making. I'm asking how do you come up with a agreement between you and the client?
Yeah. So it's mainly what I always say. It's like, it's mainly how much they want out of you. So for example, like when I first started out with the jewelry lady, she only really wanted Instagram and like post like every other day or once a week. So I was like, oh, okay. Like that's a good price to give you because we're providing content. We're like posting for you. We're interacting with clients and like we're getting you followers and stuff like that. But once I started adding on, it's not worth my time. But usually it's just like how much they want from you. Like if they want you to be posting every single day, if they want you to be creating marketing campaigns, that's an extra cost because that's not my sole job for you. It's supposed to be doing that. Like, and I think if they have their own in-house photographer, that's going to be a little bit less what I charge them. Or if they want you to be on different conference calls every other day, that's going to be costing you a little bit more because it's like using my time that I could be using for other things to be on conference calls with you. So it's really just kind of going and like realizing like, okay, if I want to be actually paid hourly, which I do have a client that pays me hourly, would I rather do that or have a monthly like set payment from someone, just like a recurring payment, the exact same amount every month, or do I want to get paid hourly for the amount that I'm working like for them? So it really just depends on like what you choose to provide.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So when it comes to the set price recurring monthly type payment, do you have base prices for each thing that you're doing? Like, do you already have set prices for, say, if you're going to run their Instagram or just their Pinterest?
Yeah. So yeah, I usually have that because like sometimes people don't realize how much it actually costs to do that. And I think that I really undersell myself in that way because I think during also a global pandemic, not a lot of people have a lot of money to spend. So it's kind of like putting the prices a little bit lower and being like, hey, I know your brand is struggling right now. I can help through social. It'll be like whatever, this is not an actual number, but like $200 a month for Pinterest, like that kind of thing. Just kind of giving numbers out there to see what fits them specifically at this point in time too.
Right. So what's your best tips for staying on top of social media trends, depending on the platform? Do you just watch it very closely or do you have resources for staying on top of those trends?
Yeah. So someone said this once and I actually really, really agree with it. But if you go on Pinterest, there's a trending page for Pinterest. So if you go on that, you actually see what's trending at that time where it's like, oh, it could be florals or it could be like, I don't know, like a certain type of like bohemian style. So it's like seeing those kind of trends because that's people like, and it's just like such a random thing, but people like who are pinning the stuff for their future. So like those people who are pinning their own Pinterest boards and like picking those things, they're going to be future buyers in a month or two once they finally decide exactly like the direction that they want to go towards. So I definitely say like, yeah, like, so like looking at random trends like that, where it's like Pinterest has a trending page. If you even go on TikTok and see their trending page, which is like such a random thing to do, but like go on different trending pages for social media because you see what people are looking for and what they want. And I think along with that is just looking at the competitors and seeing what they're doing, because the best way to be successful is looking at what your competitors are doing and doing it better. So if they're having like a very like floral aesthetic and like it's kind of like a little bit bland, add more to it. Create better captions and copy and like better marketing techniques for that. So I think it's like a variety of different things, but just looking at the trends on social media would be a number one thing.
Which platform do you feel is the best platform for selling product?
Honestly, I think it's between Pinterest and TikTok right now.
Ooh.
Because TikTok, yeah. Well, because Pinterest, it's really random. I think Pinterest is literally one of the most underrated like forms of kind of social media ever. Because like, I don't know about you, but for me, I go on Pinterest at least 3 times a day. I'm just on Pinterest and I'm like, I like this, like whatever. Like that's like literally how I came up with the idea for my room, like different things like that. You know what I'm saying? Where it's like, you get different ideas from Pinterest and like you could actually purchase on Pinterest and like it'll redirect you to a different website and stuff. So Pinterest is really good. And then also TikTok, obviously companies have blown up because of TikTok. Careers have really skyrocketed because of the TikTok. So I really think those two would be the number one players to look out for.
Can you tell us your best tips for growth on Instagram, Pinterest, and TikTok?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so I think Instagram's kind of hard to go, like to grow right now, I think especially because it's just such an overly saturated platform. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really hard to understand their algorithm now. But I think a lot of like collaborating with other Instagrammers is really smart. And like, kind of like, I used to do this a lot when I was first growing, which is really funny, but it was like Woman Crush Wednesday, where you would like repost other bloggers and stuff. And so we'd all kind of have like group chats where it's like, okay, I'm posting you this week, like that kind of thing. But I think collaborating with other influencers and bloggers and stuff like that, or even your friends, because like, you never know who's gonna see that and be like, oh, like that looks like a cool profile, let me follow it. But also like understanding that you do have to go with the trend of like Instagram specifically, where it's like before it was so like blogger and like smiling at everything and like with like, I don't know, like a phone and being like, oh my God, I love this phone. Like that's not a thing anymore. It's kind of more like a laid back aesthetic where you're like, oh, I don't care, but I'm posting it anyways. But realistically you do care. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, totally. Totally.
Yeah. Yeah. And then what was the other two? Was it TikTok? And then what was the other one?
Pinterest.
Okay. I think for Pinterest, a lot of it would be to repost your own content because it gets really, really popular. Like I don't, and like doing the actual correct tags for it because people are very visual. At least like for me specifically, I'm a very, very visual person. I don't read any captions, anything like that. I really just rely on the photos. So I think photos and videos on Pinterest really, really help. And especially videos right now on Pinterest because they're kind of trying to promote that a lot more. And I don't know if you've seen it, but on Pinterest currently, they'll actually have TikTok videos. So people are actually reposting their TikTok videos on Pinterest and it's getting a lot more traction that way.
That's what I do.
Yeah, it's smart though. It's really, really smart. Like it's a really smart way to kind of market yourself to a larger platform because some people are not on TikTok and like, they don't plan on getting on TikTok because of all the crazy political stuff that happens with TikTok that you see on the news. So most of those people that stick to Pinterest will see your TikToks and then you get those views. Like, yeah.
Exactly.
And then I think with, yeah, no, it's true. What were we going to say?
Oh, no. Continue with TikTok.
Oh, yeah. No, I think with TikTok, really just seeing the audio trends is a really big one. Seeing what's actually on the trending page and understanding to find a niche, if that makes sense. Cause like for myself right now, I'm like on a One Direction thrifting DIY niche. I don't know why, but like that's what my TikTok kind of is. And that's what my For You page is. So I'm kind of feeding into that. I'm like, I'll do it. Like, I don't care. Like I want to have fun. So yeah, just really understanding a niche and like creating content for that audience.
Right. So, yeah. And you are seriously popping off on TikTok. I love watching your content.
Thank you. It's fun. I really like it. I've had TikTok since 2018 when everyone thought it was weird. So like I've been loving TikTok for the past like 2 years now. Yeah.
So can we circle back to Social Queens? How do you find your clients and how do you market yourself as a company?
Yeah. So I think a big thing is that I will actually get DMs on my own personal Instagram, which is great. So I'll get that. But I think a big thing, and I actually told it to someone the other day, when you're kind of just starting out and you want to work for other people and things like that, is like go to a small like restaurant. Cause I've done that a couple times and like sometimes it doesn't work out. Sometimes it does, but go to like your local coffee shop or something like that and kind of research and be like, okay, do they have an Instagram? Do they have a Pinterest right now? And if they do, is it just one of their employees that they're like, hey, take a picture of this coffee cup, post it right now and don't put any thought into it? Or is it an actual company that's like representing them? So like you kind of get a feel for that. And then you, like, I've done that before where I'm like, hey, can I talk to the manager? Not like a Karen, obviously, but like, I would like to see your manager and like, can I talk to them about like doing social media for you guys? And I've talked to them, I've talked to a couple, and like sometimes it works out where like, oh yeah, like give us your contact info, let's see if we can collaborate on something. And sometimes they're like, no, it's okay, we don't have a budget for that right now, or we have our employees taking pictures for us, like it's not a big deal for us. So I think that's a really good way when you're first starting out and you really don't know anyone who needs social media help, it's just to kind of put yourself out there. And like, it'll feel awkward, but like being uncomfortable is the best way to know that you're doing something right, because you should not feel comfortable 24/7.
Exactly. Totally agree with everything you just said. And honestly, Emily, I think you are one of the baddest bitches I've ever met. Like, you are killing it. No, you are killing it. And I'm so, so happy that you agreed to come on my podcast, because all of the information that you are telling is so beneficial, and I feel like people are really going to be inspired by what you have to say. And you're in a lot of different industries right now, which is really cool to have multiple streams of income. How do you manage all of these multiple streams of income? How do you plan your time? What is your best planning tips?
Yeah, I think honestly for me, I have my planner right next to me actually. But like, I think really just understanding, like I do this weird thing where it's like certain days of the week I will like motivate to creating content or doing brand deals on my own personal social, and then other days of the week I'm like, okay, I'm only focusing on these two clients or whatever and like working on that. So I think for me, the way that my mind works personally is I have to focus like days of the week, and like if I have like a little bit of extra time, I'll be like, oh, maybe I can like squeeze in this meeting right now. Or, oh, maybe I can actually just take a couple pictures for my social or film a TikTok or something random. But I think a lot of it is just trying to find a nice balance, which is really hard to do. And I don't think I'll ever find the perfect balance, but understanding that like after 6 or 7 p.m., no more conference calls with anyone, no more emails with anyone, and just kind of making that boundary for myself, because if I don't, I will go crazy. Because I used to do that a lot where I'm like, oh, well, I'll answer an email at 2 a.m. because you're emailing me right now. Like, no, like it's okay to take a step back and understand that, like, you know what, you need to create boundaries, which is a big, big thing. And like, take care of yourself, like first off, and then like, understand that like it's okay to like wait a couple hours before responding to an email. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. So as somebody that is doing your own thing in every aspect of your life, you're doing your own thing. How do you stay motivated and how do you keep yourself on track when it comes to doing your work and getting your stuff done?
Yeah, it's definitely really, really hard. And like, I'll say, especially during quarantine, it's been a struggle to kind of like keep everything together and like make sure I'm on like a pace, because I think it's been really hard for everyone in general. And like, I think you can get yourself down by viewing other people, because I would do that a lot where I was viewing other, well, like specifically like creator wise, like I would view other creators who had less followers than me, whatever. And then now they're blowing up. Like one girl like has like almost a million on TikTok, and I was like, oh my God, like what am I doing wrong? Like kind of beating myself up. But I think the best thing is just trying to stay positive with everything and not let other influences bring you down, because if you start comparing yourself to other people especially, you're just gonna be in a whirlwind of trouble. Like it's never fun to feel like you're never amounting to what those people are doing. But I think a big thing is understanding that you have to grow at your own pace, and understand that like a lot of people are relying on you, because for me personally, I have an entire team that relies on me to get content out and to work on different projects for them. And I have to rely on myself as well, where it's like, these bills aren't going to get paid themselves. Like I don't have a normal 9-to-5. Like I can't just be like, and my parents have never supported me. Like you have never paid for rent or anything for me. So I've always had to pay on rent by myself and understand how to save money and like that kind of thing. So it's like, if I don't do it, I can't rely on mom and dad to be like, hey, I don't have enough money for rent this month. Can you help me out? Like, that's not something I can do. So I think it's a big thing. It's like understanding the responsibilities that I have as like an adult who chose to live in LA, and like the responsibilities that other people rely on me. That's like a big one for me.
So do you have a morning routine?
I think for myself, I actually wake up at 6 a.m. every morning.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It's not like I choose to though. It just naturally happens. But like, I think cause I recently moved, I actually moved during quarantine. My windows are just so bright, and like, I'm on the third floor of like a townhouse. You have to come over once all this craziness is done, but
for sure.
I'm like on the third. Yeah. Like, and I'm on the third floor. So it's like so much sun. So right when the sun rises, I have to be up because like, it's just there. But I usually wake up at like around 6 a.m. and then I kind of like go on TikTok, kind of see what's going on with the trends. And then like, I'll think of a couple ideas. I usually don't post that much on that app right now, but I'll think of a couple of ideas and I'm like, maybe I'll film that later. But I will get coffee and just kind of have a moment for myself and just like skincare, all that stuff, drink some coffee. And then I think around 9 a.m. I'll start working on clients. Cause like, if I don't give myself those like 3 hours in the morning, I'll feel like I'm just so like rushed and I'm not getting anything done and like just so overwhelmed. So I think starting off my morning really, really light and just like relaxing, drinking coffee, maybe going on a walk, like is kind of what helps me throughout the rest of the day, because it's not so hectic right in the morning.
Right.
So yeah.
Okay. I mean that hearing that, I'm like, okay, I wake up at like 10:30 every day.
No, that's fine though. I never get any sleep anyways. Like I'm a horrible sleeper. So it's just like, it's horrible.
No, but I kind of needed a little kick in the ass, and you kind of just gave me a little kick in the ass, which I appreciate.
Of course, anytime.
So one of the last questions, and then I'll let you go because you are a busy woman. What?
Oh, maybe he'll so cool.
You are cool.
Thank you. I feel you're always really good at just like hyping me up. I love it. Thank you.
Honestly, I love being a hype woman. It's one of my best qualities.
Oh, I love that.
Okay, so last question. What advice would you tell somebody who is trying to start their own freelancing company and be their own boss right out of college, which is what you've done?
Yeah, I think that the best advice I can give is get a mentor. Like that's a big one, because I think a lot of people just are trying to go into everything blind, which I fully respect. But if I didn't have a mentor when I was first starting out everything, I feel like for myself, I just would have like a lot of other things that I would be focusing on besides my company. So I think having a mentor, someone who doesn't even have to be in like social media marketing because it's such a new thing, but like someone who's in marketing and PR and just understanding and picking their brain and just knowing like, oh, okay, so like that's what a content calendar is. Oh, that's like how to correctly submit like a deadline form and like things like that. I think that's a really big thing. And just like connecting with people on LinkedIn, for example, and just picking their brain, because the more that you can learn from other people and from their mistakes, the less you will have with like mistakes being made and just misunderstandings happening. So I think that's a big thing. And then also like, I highly recommend getting some kind of internship if it's possible, because it's better to make mistakes on someone else's dollar than on your own. So yeah.
So how do you find a mentor?
Yeah. So for me personally, I had a family friend who was kind of in marketing. So I was really lucky to find a mentor like that. But honestly, I think a lot of people are always very, very eager to help. So if you see someone that's living the life that you want to live on Instagram, honestly, DM them, because you never know if they're actually going to see it and respond. Because I've had girls DM me being like, hey, I'd love to know more about this kind of stuff. And I'm always happy to talk. So it's like, if people are watching this now and you want to DM and talk to me, I'm free to do that. Like, but you never know who is willing to like actually like help you out, because so many people are so eager to talk about their journey and like kind of like mentor and teach others. So I really think even like Instagram DMs, LinkedIn is a big one. I think honestly, even TikTok, I've seen people like talk to me through TikTok too. So any social media, really, if you see someone living the life that you want to live, you just DM them and ask them like, how did you get here? Like, I would love to pick your brain. Maybe not right now for a cup of coffee, but like on a Zoom call, and I'll send you a gift basket, like that kind of thing.
Okay, everybody listening, Emily will be a mentor if you reach out to her. Pay attention, everyone.
It's true. I'm always happy to help others, because like, it's hard to go into an industry completely blind. It's nice to get a little help from others.
I agree, so, yeah. 100%. But last but not least, please plug yourself. What are your ads? Where are you located? Not located, like what's your website? All that good stuff.
I'll give you my address, my social security. I'm kidding. Okay. So you can follow me on Instagram. It's Emily _ Soule, Soule. And then I think TikTok is Emily.Soule. But if anyone ever wants to contact me, my email is actually in my bio of my Instagram. So if anyone needs help with anything, always happy to help. You can email me, DM me. And I think I might still have my website. It's just www.emilysoule.com. So I think I'm actually going to make that into a portfolio website. So that'll be coming soon. Yeah. Just to market myself a little bit more than I'm doing now.
We love it. We love it. All right. Thank you so freaking much for coming on the podcast. I am so, so freaking excited to share this with my people. I feel like you just gave us so much valuable information, and that's what I'm really looking for when I interview somebody. So I really, really appreciate you taking the time to come on.
Well, yeah. And thank you so much for having me. Like literally when I saw the DM, I was like, oh, of course I'll do anything. Cause you're just such a sweet person. I'm so happy you're doing this. Cause like, I think this is really great.
Aw. Well, thank you so much. We seriously, once this pandemic is over, we need to get coffee again.
I'm down always. We can get brunch, coffee, a light jog. I don't know. I'll do anything.
And we never actually clarified how we met. We met at FITM. Met in college.
Yeah.
So that's how.
I'm just a random person. Yeah.
I will let you get back to your busy day. You continue killing it. Continue killing it, honey.
Yeah.
We will speak soon.
I will. Of course. Yes. We'll have to get on another Zoom call. It doesn't even have to be for a podcast. We'll get on another Zoom call soon.
Yes, for sure. I still have questions. Like, I still have so many questions.
No, pick my brain. I don't care. Do whatever you want.
Yeah, we will have to set something up.
Thank you guys so freaking much for listening to today's episode. But wait, before you go, please, please, please rate and review this podcast on Apple Podcasts. Seriously, it helps me out a lot because I'm a fresh baby podcaster over here. So please rate and review, and I will see you guys next Friday. Bye.